Major League Baseball insider, Fox Sports, all-around good climatologist, Mr. John Morosi. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Dean. And that was a professional read there, my friend. That was outstanding.
Well, you know how it works, right? Sometimes.
Yeah, of course I do.
You never send a baby to do a man's job. I've been saying it for years.
That was pro. It was pro stuff. And certainly, I will tell you, Dean, as I sit here in Michigan right now, a lot of anxiety right now. The Wings only have a 1-point lead on the Flyers there for that eighth spot, and the Flyers have 2 games in hand. That two-decade-plus streak of postseason appearances, my friend, I'm getting a little nervous here in Michigan about that.
Do you think Jeff Blashill's nervous, too, walking into Mike Babcock's shadow if he misses the playoffs?
Maybe a little bit. I think that could be a bit of the dynamic going on right now. But I thought that the combination of the youth and experience on this team would be more than enough, Dean, to get them into the dance. But they just have not played very well on the ice for the last month or so.
Speaking of not playing, Edwin hasn't played in spring training yet. Rotten tooth, apparently. He has that fixed, and now an oblique strain. And then we find a terrible spring for the poor guy. I love me some Edwin. But and then we find out yesterday from Enrique Rojas, I believe it's Mel's second cousin, that he contract talks with the Blue Jays are going nowhere.
Yeah, and Enrique Rojas is one of my good friends in the industry and an outstanding reporter. And so basically what he says there, in my interpretation, is gospel. And so I think that's exactly where things stand right now regarding the years. I think as well, Dean, that the litany of sort of health issues, maybe it's not a litany, but I mean the number of the tooth and then, of course, the oblique for Encarnacion this spring. When you have those two health issues in the spring training and then you have an opening day deadline to get a deal done, that just makes it hard, I think, to have that conversation if you're not on the field and performing at that time. So I think that for a variety of reasons, and again, Enrique's reporting, I trust implicitly on that, I just do not see a deal happening. And then really when you think about where things stand with Bautista, where things do not appear to be moving toward a deal of any kind with Jose, I think now the scenario will come to pass, as probably many Jays fans feared, where opening day is going to arrive and neither Bautista nor Encarnacion will have a deal beyond the end of the season. I think what just really emphasizes, Dean, how much an all-in for this year type of season the Jays have here in 2016.
Now, let me ask you another question then. When it comes to contract negotiations, both have given a deadline. One is cash, one is time. When it comes to the time deadline with Edwin, if the Toronto Blue Jays, let's say mid-June, chuck 4 years and $20 million at the guy, is he out of principle just not going to negotiate?
Well, he may, but I also think, Dean, that when you look at the big picture here, I do think that the years matter a lot for him as well. And based on what Enrique had reported about basically that maybe it's that five-year range where the breakdown occurred, if the Jays are not willing to start at 5 years plus at this point in time, I'm not sure what would make them do so in 2 months. And I really think one point, and I listened to what Enrique had said to Jeff Blair yesterday about the situation. When you look at what Chris Davis got from the Orioles and you compare the numbers, you compare the home runs and the production, I have a hard time. I really think that Encarnacion's in the right when he says, hey, if it's 5 years or 6 years, look at what Chris Davis got. I think that in many respects, Encarnacion has been the more consistent hitter. Now, Davis has more power in recent years, but I think Encarnacion has been the more consistent hitter from the standpoint of average run production in some respects. So he's in the right. I mean, he is totally justified in asking, in my opinion, for at least 5 years and potentially six based on where the free agent market was this past year and the numbers he's put up. So I think if the Jays are unwilling to meet that price, and certainly that is their right if they feel like going forward he's not going to be as durable or as effective as a hitter, then I just do not see the situation changing, Dean, in a material way in the next few months.
Let's move on to starting pitching. Seems to be an embarrassment of riches the way that everybody has pitched in spring training, if you can base your season on spring training, and I know you don't. But one of the odd men that seems to be out, and I wanted to get your opinion, this start for Hutch. Now, we haven't heard his name in relation to that fifth rotation spot. So what is it that the Blue Jays may or may not do depending on his start? Are they showcasing him, or do you think that this is a question of, hey, listen, we want to see if he can actually slot into that fifth spot? Because, you know, as it sits now, dealing from a position of strength, which we never would have said 2 months ago, maybe at the starting pitching position.
Exactly. Well, Dina, I will tell you this. If I was a GM, and let's say I wanted to showcase a particular pitcher for trade purposes, I would have him pitch in a night game where it's easy for scouts in Florida to get there. And, of course, there are fewer games going on at night in spring training. It's sort of a standalone thing. I'd have him pitch a night game on the road, which means, of course, he would face most of the varsity lineup of said team. And it's never a bad idea to have that pitcher pitch against the New York Yankees, which always have a lot of eyeballs. Sure enough, Dean, this evening, Drew Hutchison pitches on the road in a night game against the Yankees. So when you line up all these factors at this time of spring training, this is now the time with about 2 weeks left where you start to have these trade talks, because now people's rosters start to congeal a little bit and you start to know what your needs are. And I look at a couple teams out on the West Coast, the A's, some serious pitching concerns there. Jared Parker out again, Rich Hill, a lot of control issues here in spring training. I think they have a pitching shortage, even the Dodgers with all their issues. So I would not shock me at all, Dean, if we see a scout from the A's there, a scout from the Dodgers there, certainly other teams around the industry that are having some pitching concerns as well. So I really think tonight, if you were going to showcase a pitcher for a trade purpose in spring training, you would have him pitch a night game on the road against the Yankees, which is precisely what Drew Hutchison is going to do this evening.
I sense the sarcasm in your voice, so you know something, John. You know something's cooking.
Well, I will say this. I've got a pretty strong sense that if the right offer came around for him, that they would make a trade. And listen, Drew Hutchison is still a good pitcher. This guy pitched opening day for the Jays last year, but he just doesn't really fit right now. And you're right in that we've not really heard much about him in the fifth starter derby, okay? Gavin Floyd has pitched quite well, and you look at certainly what Aaron Sanchez has done. I think certainly Sanchez, you look at the innings he's thrown, the strikeout, he's missed more bats than I thought he would. I think in many respects, Sanchez has won a spot in the rotation. And so when you talk so much about Sanchez and Floyd at this moment, there's just not a lot of room there for Hutchison. Again, barring another injury situation, of course, Estrada pitched the B game this week, so it looks like he's working his way back. I just think right now, Dean, I feel like he's in a spot where I think Hutchison just does not really have a spot on this team, and he could probably do some good for someone else. And the Jays will probably both try to do right by themselves by getting a prospect maybe with options who they can control a little better from a standpoint of going to the minor leagues, and then also do right by a guy that started for them on opening day last year but just doesn't really fit the roster as well right now.
So that means nothing to fill an immediate need, because it doesn't feel like, John, that the Jays have a glaring need right now they'd have to address via trade, does it?
Right. Well, and George, I think I would say this, that for the Jays, and we've heard so much talk over the wintertime but from Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins about their starting pitching depth at AAA. I think that it could be as much about getting what they in the industry would call an optionable starter. So a younger guy, sort of a Matt Boyd of last year, that type of a piece that you could freely send up and down in the minor leagues, and that maybe has some upside. Maybe he's only going to be a back-end starter even in the best scenario, but that he's a guy that's 23 or 24 and has some years ahead of him where you can sort of project him into the future a little bit. That's the kind of guy that I still think the Jays feel like they need. They've got the Roberto Hernandez's and Gavin Floyd's, but I think the younger guy, I think that is an overall piece of need for this team, and also probably in the bullpen, a similar type guy, a Chad Jenkins type, kind of a seventh inning potential guy that's maybe a little bit younger that you could find and option him and back and forth. That's the type of guy that I think is a reasonable ask. If the team you're talking to has some decent bullpen depth or pitching depth at AAA, if they're going to trade up, let's say, and get a guy with track record like Hutchison has, I think that type of a sixth, seventh inning reliever or a fifth starter who's younger, I think that's a very reasonable ask, and also certainly something the Jays need from an organizational standpoint.
Weird one yesterday. Adam LaRoche walked away from a $13 million contract with the White Sox. What do you know about why?
You know, Dean, it's a great question. It sounds as though, based on what he has said on social media and sort of intimated in his comments, that it's a personal/family reason. I don't know more than that, but I certainly think he's a guy that has been very family-oriented in his career and his life, so that part of it doesn't surprise me. That being said, Dean, $13 million, I believe, from having checked into it this morning, is the largest amount of money on a guaranteed deal that's ever been walked away from in Major League Baseball history. I think Michael Kadire over the wintertime was a little less than $12.5 million. Gil Mesh with the Royals a number of years ago, that was $12 million. But $13 million guaranteed. I mean, all he had to do was basically show up, and even if he went on the DL for the whole season, he would have been guaranteed that amount of money. So, I mean, certainly good on him for walking away from it from the standpoint of his own honor. And I really do think, Dean, that this has a lot to do. We don't know, again, the exact circumstance, but it seems to be a personal/family reason for Adam LaRoche.